I'm Marco Werman, and you're listening to The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. To really understand a story, it always helps to get personal. That's what we're doing this week with the immigration story of the summer, the wave of thousands of unaccompanied minors from Central America headed north to the U.S. border. Yesterday, we heard how two young boys from El Salvador made that harrowing journey. They eventually reunited with their parents here, but thousands of kids are detained and sent to shelters in different parts of the U.S., and there are concerns about conditions at these facilities. The World's Monica Campbell has a story of one boy and his family. We're not using their real names to protect their privacy.
He's 11 years old, and we'll call him Carlos. For years, he and his sister lived with relatives in Guatemala, while their mom supported them from Atlanta as a house cleaner. Then the relatives Carlos lived with were murdered in a robbery. So last November, his mom paid for a smuggler to bring Carlos and his sister to Atlanta. They got to the Texas border, but then the smuggler ditched the kids and Border Patrol caught them.
Si nos decían de dónde éramos, pues nosotros le contestamos que de Guatemala.
Carlos said he was from Guatemala, and he gave the officers his mom's number.
Me hablaron de la frontera que si era la madre de dos niños.
Carlos's mom says the officials called and said her kids would be sent to a shelter in New York until they could be reunited with her.
Pues está feliz porque íbamos a ir con nuestra mamá, pensé.
Carlos says he was happy because he thought he was going to see his mom. But not quite yet. They were taken to a residential detention facility called Children's Village, about 30 minutes outside New York City. And he was placed in a room with older boys, 17-year-olds, he says. It's unclear who they were, Central Americans caught at the border or youth with behavioral problems. What's clear is that one evening, Carlos says one of the older boys sexually assaulted him. Carlos fought him off and cried out, and shelter workers came and took him to a hospital. The next morning, Carlos's mom says shelter officials called her. They told her there'd been an incident with a boy at the shelter and that Carlos would fly to Atlanta the next day. She says they told her he'd arrive with records detailing what happened, but Carlos didn't have any paperwork with him when he got off the plane.
Llevo a mi hijo al hospital a que lo revisen, le hagan análisis.
She took him to a hospital to be examined. That doctor's report states that Carlos was sexually assaulted. Since then, Carlos's mom says she's entered a black hole trying to find out exactly what happened to her son. She says officials told her there was a police report, but so far she's only received one piece of paperwork, a bill for $800. It's from the New York hospital that examined her son the night of the assault. Immigration advocates say shelters are generally safe, but stories like this raise serious concerns. Michelle Brené is with the Women's Refugee Commission in Washington.
There's been very little oversight and monitoring of these facilities, and these children have really no access to the outside world.
Children's Village directed my calls to the Department of Health and Human Services, which oversees these shelters. A spokesman wouldn't comment on any policy about placing children of different ages in the same room. He also wouldn't comment on what information parents should receive when their children allege abuse. Yet he did state that HHS is working to clarify what steps should be followed in this type of case. Michelle Brené says the vague reporting requirements make it hard to know how many abuses like this happen.
I'm certain that there are many cases that we never hear about. There has to be a way to make sure that these cases aren't hidden away.
And Carlos's mom says people like her, without papers, can be afraid to speak up.
Callamos tantas cosas, tuve miedo al principio de...
But she's moving on the case and has two lawyers in Atlanta helping her pro bono. One to investigate the crime at the shelter. The other is Dustin Baxter, an immigration lawyer. He's having a hard time getting information from the shelter.
They have not been helpful at all, which just makes us all the more suspicious that something is going on to try and cover this up so that it doesn't see the light of day.
He's going to try and get Carlos a U visa. It's granted to immigrants who are victims of rape and other crimes. It could give Carlos and his family legal status, since they are his caretakers. So now the family waits. Carlos's mom says, it's all in the hands of God. When I visit Carlos at his new home in Atlanta, he's outside with his mom and their puppies. Carlos says he's enjoying life here.
Sí, la escuela es muy bonita.
He likes school, and he's met another kid from Central America. He's also seeing a psychologist. So is his mom. She feels incredibly guilty about what's happened and hopes that now, with the family all together here, they can start over. For The World, I'm Monica Campbell, Atlanta.